have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Loud noises!
I know kung fu.
This is madness! Where are you?
Hey everyone, and welcome to the 8-Bit Geek. If you ever feel the need to rebel against your parents, significant other, or just life in general, then just listen to us. We provide you with all the ammo you need to go against the man. So take it to him. I'll be your host for this wonderful power hour. With me was two men, but just one now. And he's got the real talent.
I used to be two men, but now I am just one, Kevin.
You are still two men to me.
Oh,
I've shared
bad jokes all night.
No, I've shared a hotel room with you. You are all man, two of them. Doug is unable to make it today to the show because he's not feeling well, so we wish him the best.
Everyone, tweet positive thoughts to Doug.
That's right.
On the Twitters.
I am I'm having a nice little coldy for him. Little snack. Little drinky.
Yeah.
And it's Foster's.
Pouring a little out for my homie.
And it's Foster's, so you know it's Australian for beer.
Oh, man. Foster's makes you look like you have a baby hand.
For real. And they only sell it in this giant thing. Why? Look at this thing.
Oh, everything's bigger in Australia.
Oh, Australians, let me tell you. Sometimes when you're faced with kangaroos, you got to have a strong beer. Just in case something spills out, you throw some beer in its face. You punch it with the can, and then you drink it.
You don't throw beer in his face, you spit beer in his face.
Mate, you know what I'm saying. That's Australian for spit.
What? Foster's, Australian for spit.
Foster's. We are on iTunes and Podbean and Stitcher Radio. We ask that you go there and subscribe to us. Please, please, please. It helps us out a lot. Gives us a breakdown of who's listening and who wants to see the show and what kind of works and what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so do that now. Do that right away.
Right now.
Right now. Wait. Yeah, don't do it now. Just kind of do it in your leisurely time or something.
No, we're gonna wait for you. Do it now.
Yeah.
I want to hear the clicking.
Here we go. Ready? Let's give them some time. You guys finish?
All right, you better be finished.
You better.
Oh, I'm watching you.
Ooh, motherfuckers. let's see here. We have to talk a little bit about Comic Palooza. We talked about it last week on the podcast. We're back at it again.
Coming up, man.
I know, man. And we're going to be there. We're going to be there on the
all 3 days, right?
We're going to be there on the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It goes from the 22nd to the 25th. We're going to miss that Friday.
That's crazy.
But it's definitely going to be a long show. It's going to be an awesome show. They got a lot of cool guests going on. So, and if you want to, go check it out at comicpalooza.com. Last week we spent a lot of time talking about it. This week we won't, but we do fully expect to see you there. And if you see us walking around, say hi.
Yeah,
so it's next.
And this is gonna be one of the true ones with like the Artist Alley like selling out, right? Like, I mean, this is gonna be insane for comic book lovers.
This is expected to be on some epic shit. Like, there's going to be a just giant floor. We went there last year, and I think we said this last week, but the show floor is something out of like San Diego. I mean, it's just ginormous. They had way too much space last year, but this year I think they're going to fill up. They had so much space that they had a fucking wrestling rink.
A wrestling ring?
Yeah, they had one last year, and they actually had wrestling shows there. They had all day.
Like, that's awesome.
It was really crazy. I sat and watched it. Doug didn't want to see it anymore. He was like, no, let's go. But I had a good time.
He wanted to see more. Trust me.
I was like, well, there were two girls fighting, and so I was taking photos, and I had a good time. I was like, yeah, get it, girls. And then one of them...
That's why Doug was waiting for the dudes to come back. He's like, I can't wait anymore. I'm out.
He's like, I can't take this. If there's not going to be any dudes, I'm out.
I need to see dudes and leotards. Let's go.
When's Captain Fly my pants off coming out?
Fly my pants off?
Oh, God, that's
he's the champion,
name,
of course.
Right? He is the champ. If you had a wrestling name, what would your wrestling name be?
Oh, man. You know what? It was funny because back in high school, it was the 90s, and people did stupid shit like backyard wrestling. And so I did, and my name was the Demolisher.
Oh, did you demolish?
I didn't demolish, but no, I was pretty bad. But I could take a good chair shot. Trust me, I think there's video of it somewhere on the internet.
Dude, you've got to find that. I want to see that. Will you try to find it for me?
I will. We'll post it on 8-Bit Geek. We'll be like 8-Bit Flashback or something.
That'd be great.
The time Kevin had hair and he had his fucking head slammed in with a fucking steel chair.
Oh, what I wouldn't give. Oh, I really hope you find it. I really do. That'd be a lot of fun. Let's see. I grew up in the time. Okay, so when I was younger, obviously The Undertaker was the biggest name in wrestling until the age of... See, I didn't grow up watching Hulk Hogan. I grew up watching Undertaker, and I also grew up watching The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That would be happily referred to as the Attitude Era of wrestling, and that's still considered probably one of the best eras of wrestling today.
That is It was one of my favorite. It blew my mind when I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin drive down in a Coors Light truck.
Yeah.
And then get on top of it and slam two together. Like, I was just like, this is the man.
Yeah, clearing the ring. Like, he had a huge fire hose full of beer. It was like that moment in UHF. Like, everyone's opening their mouths. They're like, send it my way.
It was pretty phenomenal. I miss those days. I really do. That was the days when the scripted kind of drama started, and it wasn't like a soap opera. It was still more like it was believable to the point where you were just like, man, this is so good TV. Like, this is amazing. But now it just seems very, I think, like, the veil has been lifted too many times, I think.
Yeah, you see, WWE goes through so many eras. Right now, this is considered the PG era / reality era. Where, like, a lot of fans know it's fake and they know their storylines, but they still have their favorite wrestlers, no matter whether people are there to boo them or cheer them. They're going to cheer whoever they want to cheer. So they basically, a lot of people, how like Stone Cold was, he was a bad guy, but everyone would cheer him on, so it made him a good guy. And that's kind of like what's going on right now. It's definitely at a low point. I mean, it's getting a little better. Every year they pick it up around WrestleMania season, but... Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not nearly as amazing and as groundbreaking as it was in the 90s.
There is, what was I going to say? I think that a big problem that I see with it, at least, is that the internet era kind of ruins it because now all the scripts leak. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I mean, I listen to a sports show in the morning on the drive to work sometimes. And they always, like, they have this wrestling segment, and they're like, well, this person's going to lose his belt, you know, and it's just like, how does this stuff get out? Like, how is it leaking every single week?
A lot of it is speculation, though. I mean, no one really knows until the end. But
because they do change it, right?
In the day of the reality era, yeah, you're right. A lot of people have their hands in it, and... Sometimes it'll happen, sometimes, very rarely, it won't happen, which is nice. Because a lot of times it's like, you know, wrestling's being run by a couple people who are super finger not on the pulse of popularity anymore.
Right.
And so they're kind of just picking and choosing who they want to be over, you know, meaning like the popular guy, while the fans want other people to be over. It's like I said, it's a long story. We can get a whole other podcast about that.
And tune in next week when we start our WWE podcast.
Yeah, that'll be another one Doug's not on.
Doug's like, man, guys, I after listening to this week's podcast, I went ahead and I'm just going to go ahead and retire. I've gotten my 2 years in. I'm done.
Taking you down, Doug. Going for your belt.
Oh, yeah. All right. So every week we like to take a look at some movie news. We're not going to do it. We're giving a little break to our misconnections. As of late, we kind of, you know, there hasn't been a lot of good ones, and you know, we want to bring that back as a. What we want to try to do with misconnections is everyone really enjoys it when they're really funny, but well, then they get kind of stale after a while. So we want to kind of rotate it. We're trying to think of ideas for different segments that we can mix together at the beginning of the show. Like it, maybe we do the 8-bit flashback or time machine, and then we also do we bring back auditions with Doug. And then we also do, like, you know, so that way we have a like a kind of a cool rotation. You never know what you're going to get, and it keeps it fresh for all of our fans. So if you have any suggestions or anything that you'd like to hear, let us know at the 8-Bit Geek on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and all of that. So
yeah, definitely. We're all about entertaining you guys.
That's right.
While keeping everything fresh as well.
Yeah. So, but one thing that is always fresh is the news, because we like to talk about it. So with... Without further ado, for the news, Doug's not here to make me stop it. Let's hear it now.
It's the most spectacular, magnificent, and important news you'll hear all day. Or not.
All right, so Tom Hardy has been on kind of this press gig, and he's been talking about this mysterious DC comic project, but he's also requested and put out there that he wants to be Punisher.
Right.
And he also said that he wants to be somebody from Marvel. Who did he say?
He wanted Punisher.
To be, yeah, well, he wanted to be Punisher, but he also wanted to be somebody else.
I don't know. He's everywhere, though, these days. Like, he's doing Mad Max. You know, that's coming out this Friday. I mean, he's really getting around. I think he'd be pretty good as a Punisher, but I don't know, man. There's other people I'd like to see.
But here's the deal. He went and said that he wants to do that for Marvel, but then he just teased a DC Comics project, and this is what he had to say. It's I wish I could do his accent. It's really good, actually. It contains elements of all kinds of stuff, from Ocean's 11 to Batman. You can get all the rappers out. And it would be really big and cool. Technicolor, Pulp Fiction. It's a psychological fuckfest. It's absolutely beautiful. It's as if you would take Trans Metropolitan and make it happen. But it's not that. And it's something which is more real world. It could be like Heat. It would be fucking awesome. Let me tell you what it is and try and guess. But he says it's not a movie. It's prime real estate. And it goes... But then he says it goes TV and movie. It's awesome. And it's never been thought of before. And it's going to absolutely, you know, blow everyone's mind. So he's this is a pretty big deal, I guess.
Yeah.
For him.
What I wonder is, like, is it him pitching the idea to Warner Brothers? Or were they pitching it to him and he was just so hyped about it?
Yeah, it could be a little bit of both. Maybe Warner Brothers mentioned it and it's not actually in production, but he is like trying to gain some traction, because you know that's how a lot of people get, you know, some roles in projects, and you know, people looking their way. It's just like, hey, I'd really love to play Punisher, and then, you know, Marvel goes, oh well, we never really thought of that. Let's go talk to him.
Right.
You know.
Weirdly enough, and this is, once again, we're getting into wrestling, but if I could pick one person to play Punisher, man, I'd love to see CM Punk do it. Like Phil Brooks, I think he'd be an awesome Punisher. Like, he's got the badass, like, don't give a fuck kind of attitude. I think he would be good. He's got the slick back hair. He's bulking up for, you know, UFC. Like, I think he would be a great Punisher.
Oh, but, yeah, he quit WWE, didn't he?
You know, who knows? Well, and right now, too, he's actually writing for Marvel. He's going to be, he's doing, he did an episode, or he did a couple issues of, like, Thor, like, Teen Thor, and now he's going to be doing, coming out this winter, it's going to be, the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, the big dude.
Batista.
Yeah, Batista, whatever his character, I can't think of it off the top of my head. But he's going to be doing comic book for him. He announced at C2E2 in Chicago a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Trax.
He's definitely, Drax. Yeah, yeah. So he's doing a Drax comic.
That's
and
cool.
And so, like, it can go from there. You know, Marvel, him and Marvel have a good relationship right now. That'd be really cool if they took a chance and actually put him into the Punisher shoes. But who knows?
I'd be okay with that.
He was even like, he's like, I would never commit to anything, but if someone, if Marvel came up to me like that, I'd probably say yes.
Badass. Yeah. Let's see. The NSA actually named a program Skynet, which is scary. It was a program to intercept. Okay, so it metadata to pick out potential terrorists from a bulk data collection. Why the fuck do people play with this stuff? Like, that's the scary part. Like, I know that we need to further technology and everything. I'm actually okay if technology stayed right where it was. Because I'm scared to death of this AI shit. And Skynet could happen. We all just watched The Avengers, right?
With Ultron.
With Ultron. We all see what an artificial... I mean, it's bound to happen. Artificial intelligence would look at humans and say, these are a terrible race. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that this would happen.
Yeah.
So I say it's a bad thing. Don't do it.
I don't know. I think they would have some kind of pull. Like, they'd have some kind of switch that they can pull if it ever gets too real. People have seen enough movies, you know.
But wouldn't it be able to hack itself, though? Wouldn't it be able to hack the whatever program is?
Keep it on an analog device that can't be hacked. An old school, like,
how would you set it on a Commodore 64? How would you attach it, though, and turn it off?
Easily. Plug it in.
But what if it sees? I mean, these things are like,
I don't. We're getting way too down a rabbit hole on this.
Listen,
one.
Listen, man, I'm just saying, like, you plug it in and it automatically sees that you've plug something in. So how do you make a fail safe that, like, you'd have you man, let's get Ryan on the horn. He needs to talk to us about this programming thing. How can we?
It's all in a building, bunch of servers in a building.
Okay.
Have explosives. Mm-hmm. Shit goes crazy, blow up the building.
Okay, but what if
conventional?
What if the robots have built a backup server system because they know that that's where the mind is?
No, who's going to tell the robots that the explosions are in the building?
Maybe they can detect them. They can. Proximity sensors, right?
Oh, no.
Listen. And who's to say that they don't say, all right, well, we know that this building is rigged. I mean, not rigged, but we know that people are in this building and this is where our mind is. I guess they would go on protection mode, right? Because they wouldn't want humans to shut them down. I guess you could build the bombs inside of the server itself. All I know is that maybe there's a backup server somewhere.
Oh my God, you're thinking way too deep into this.
All right, listen, Ryan, we need a fully functional program to back up our thoughts here, okay? Get it working.
We need a hacker that won't that'll hack the robots.
Yeah, we need a hacker who can build an anti-hacking device to then hack into the robots if they go crazy.
Oh, my headache's coming back.
Can it be done?
Will it blend?
Will it blend? And we need an iPhone app to work the hacking device.
We because don't need it has
to be
app.
It has to be user friendly. Because what if an idiot like has to shut off? You know, like what if Dennis Quaid, or not Dennis Quaid? What's his name that flew up into the alien ship?
Randy Quaid.
Yeah. What if Randy Quaid is in charge
of that
button? Randy
Quaid is hiding out somewhere in Canada, hating the USA.
I'm just saying, what if he is responsible for taking down the robots after he took down the aliens already, and you give a Randy Quaid type of guy, he's like, hey, you have to save us all. And he's like, oh, well, fuck, all I know how to do is run an iPhone. I don't know how to press a button.
I don't think Randy Quaid knows how to run an iPhone. Let's be real here. Come on.
Well, you're probably right. All right, so moving on. Rosario Dawson is returning for Daredevil season 2, and she's going to have an expanded role.
Good. She was fantastic in the first season, without spoiling anything. I mean, like, she's a great actress, and I'm glad to see her in more stuff. I wish I could see her everywhere, because she's amazing, beautiful, down to earth as fuck. I really hope she shows up in Clerks 3 as well.
Dude, I fell in love with her in Clerks 2. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I loved her before, but after watching that, I was like, oh my gosh. Especially because she goes ass to mouth.
Hey, only in the heat of passion, okay?
Yeah.
You never go ass to mouth.
Well.
Such a great movie.
She had 5 episodes and in the first season, and I think that she's going to have a lot more because she was a fan favorite, big time.
I think a lot more because it was just the first season was kind of testing the waters and everything, and they did so many things good that they're probably going to they're going to capitalize on that,
and they fully should.
Yeah, like I said, Vincent D'Onofrio, man, I still have like 2 or 3 episodes left. I really have to finish it, but man, Vincent D'Onofrio, easily best character, best kingpin ever.
That's what everyone is saying. Yeah. Even though I heard somebody make fun of him because it was like, oh my god, he took the Men in Black character and he turned him into Kingpin.
Which Men in Black character?
He was the
World
Galaxy. And you know, I kind of thought about it and I was like, wow, that's kind of right, but not really. He's also, you can also find him in the new, what movie is he in? This upcoming movie. Is he in Batman versus Superman? No.
No.
Oh, there's some huge movie that he, oh, no, Star Wars? No.
Not Ant-Man, right?
It might be Ant-Man. I don't know.
I mean, it would make sense, seeing as he'd be still in the Marvel Universe.
But he's not playing Kingpin.
Oh, okay.
He's playing Ant-Man. It's a giant movie. It's a huge movie that's coming out.
Oh, Jurassic World.
Yeah, that's it. Jurassic World.
He eats a raptor.
He's like, "Rural Galaxy." Yeah, that's who it is. He's in Jurassic World. I knew it was.
Okay.
Let's see here. We got some more Marvel news. Is that Paul Rudd and every other Marvel character has signed up and joined on to Captain America: Civil War. Now, Doug is not here to defend himself, so I get to say this. He was really excited about this news, like really excited, but I think it was already known that all of them were coming back, because, I mean, it is called Civil War. You kind of have to have a lot of Marvel characters going against each other, right?
Right.
So,
but who knows? I mean, like, they're playing so many things different in the universe than they did in the comics for one, because of certain IPs that are held up by other things and for other stuff that hasn't even been introduced. So, I mean, they're really kind of having a kind of throw a curveball this way.
All right. So
we're going to see as many people.
This is who's been announced. You got Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Falcon, War Machine, Scarlet Witch, The Vision, Crossbones, Bucky Barnes, Black Panther, Baron, Helmet Zemo. I've never heard of him. Ant-Man, and somebody else. Agent 13. And okay. So that's been announced so far.
I mean, it's going to have a lot of people. You know they're not all going to get the same screen time, so we'll see.
No, of course not. I mean, it's going to be... It's mostly, I would say that it's going to be an hour and a half of build up with Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. and then an hour of fighting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it's going to be.
But in What the Fuck news, the Farleys are somehow getting a Three Stooges sequel? I thought this movie bombed. It came out in 2012.
It was probably really cheap to make.
It earned $54 million worldwide. So I guess made $10 million, I guess if it made $10 million, if it cost like $10 million to make, I mean, it was profitable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in all honesty, if you haven't seen it, it's not a terrible movie. If you're a Three Stooges fan, the three people that they picked to play, Sean Hayes, Chris Demenopoulos or whatever, and Will Sasso, they did amazing jobs as the Three Stooges. Like, it was pretty believable. The thing is, the story was kind of a eh. But, I mean, once again, it's not one of the movies. You don't go see the Three Stooges for the story. You go for the comedy. And there was some pretty comedic moments there, some pretty fun times. There was a lot of horrible celeb fodder, such as, like, the Jersey Shore people. Hopefully this time around, maybe they'll have some better story. But especially because the Farrelly brothers are so good with story writing. And it's like, it seems like this one, they just didn't,
in the 90s,
didn't get a chance. In the 2000s, too, I mean, you still had, like, Shallow Hal. You had The Ringer. There was a lot of good ones.
They've had a lot.
I'm a huge Three Stooges fan, so I'll go see this one.
Okay. So is it worth seeing? Should I see the first one? I haven't seen it.
You know what? Go into it. Go into it as a popcorn movie, dude. I mean, there's much worse movies out there. If you like the original Three Stooges, you'll get a good vibe from it, and it's a pretty positive movie.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. Every week we like to take a look at the top box office and let you know how things are going. Coming at number 5 in its fourth week is Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, making $5.19 million for a total of $58 million.
Chart already.
Yeah. Number 4 still hanging around is Furious 7, making $5.2 million for a total of $338 million in 6 weeks. Remember that, because the number 1 movie is going to blow your mind. Number 3 is The Age of Adeline, making $5.6 million.
It's the indie version of Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Making $31 million. And number 2, Hot Pursuit, it made $13.3 million. And that is in its first week. And then number 1, Avengers, Age of Ultron, making $77.2 million for a total of $312 million in just 2 weeks.
That's U.S. alone,
That's
right?
Domestically, yes.
Man, yeah. That's doing pretty well.
Yeah, that's nuts. So, it's kind of crazy. You know, I went to go see it for a second time this weekend.
Nice. What'd you think the second time?
You know what, dude? I gotta reiterate the point that 2D is definitely the way to see a movie. You know, like, I just got more out of it. I got so much more out of it. I actually, you know, could focus on other things that were going on. Everything was clearer. I can actually tilt my head, and you know, I really enjoy it much more. And it was almost impossible. It was like opening weekend. It was almost impossible to catch a show because everything was sold out.
Good. I mean, well, so, it sucks for you, but I mean, good. Yeah. Good for the.
But we found a theater to go see it, and I brought my son. You know, I was kind of against it a little bit because how dark it was. But then I was like, you know what? After I thought about it, I was like, you know what? They're fighting robots. Like, that's not. It's robots. You know,
except for,
like,
the guy who gets his arm ripped off.
Listen, let's. He forgot about that. He didn't even. He just. After the movie, he was like, there were so many robots. And I was like, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's right up his alley.
So. But, cool. Yeah, it was still a lot of fun. I enjoyed it and everything like that.
So. I want to go see it again as well, just for that same reason. The 3D ruined it for me. Like, I was getting a headache. I had to keep my head completely straight for 2.5 hours. Yeah, dude.
You could have leaned on my shoulder.
Like, 2D.
I would have let you.
No. No.
All right, let's get in some gaming news, because there's a lot of cool things to go through, and I know that you're excited about it. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay. 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 So I was really excited about this, and you guys kind of shit on my parade a little bit. I'm still a little kid.
Well, maybe because you sent it at like 6 a.m.
Okay, my bad. That was my bad, but I was really excited. And I'm a sucker for theme parks, okay? Not only just like, not for like Six Flags or anything, but I'm a real sucker for Universal and for Disneyland. I am a little kid, right? When I go back to these places, I instantly go to 12-year-old me. I'm so wide-eyed. I'm there. Okay, I am transferred into just kid state. Nobody can talk me out of it. Every ride is exciting. Everything feels like the first time, and I feel it's so magical to me. It really is, for me, like the happiest places on earth. Like, I love going to Disneyland every year. So, okay,
I can dig that.
Nintendo has announced with Universal that they are making a Nintendo theme park. Oh, fuck yes. Now, Universal has done crazy things for its theme parks, and they've really caught up with staying current and actually being exciting. Like, they've got the Harry Potter, they've got the Simpsons land. They've mm-hmm. got all these licenses that they've acquired, and now they've got Nintendo, and how fucking rad is this going to be? Can you imagine the rides that are going to come out of this? If they don't build a goddamn Mario Kart ride, I'm going to lose my shit.
As long as you don't, like, throw bombs or throw turtle shells at the other cars, I don't know.
If you watch...
Find a way to make that good.
If you watch Hey Ash, she actually breaks it down really, really awesome. Like, what she does is, you know, on the dash is an LCD screen, right? And if you hit sensors on the road, then it goes and it comes up with something. So then, you hit your LCD screen, say it's a banana, right? And so it throws it at the person who's in front of you and makes them slow down or spin out, you know, something kind of fun. And same mm-hmm. thing with turtle shells and things like that. It just affects your car a little bit. I think that's doable.
Yeah, that's a lot more realistic.
Yeah, so oh my gosh. And then can you imagine Donkey Kong's, you have a roller coaster already, Donkey Kong's Runaway Mine Cart.
Yeah. You could have a Luigi's Mansion, so you have like a little horror place.
You have a little horror place. That's awesome, dude. And then let's see, you got Yoshi. You can do something with like riding Yoshi.
Yeah. And then you can eat him.
And then you can eat him.
Mm. I mean, it's cool. You know, I really, the way I reacted to it was, once again, 6 a.m. reaction. It's really hard to be excited about something at 6 a.m.
I'm sorry.
But it was cool. I mean, like, I would definitely go, especially because Universal Studios, out of all of the places, I would say that would probably be the most entertaining for me. So I'm really glad at least they're the ones who teamed up with them and not Disney or not, like, Six Flags or something like that.
Oh, fuck Six Flags, man. They're so ridiculously, like, they're so trashy. It's they can't even fix the shit that they have. And they open new parks and they're like, look at our new park, but we won't fix our old ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, let's see. Nintendo also has a plan, finally, for their smartphone games. They said that they're going to release 5 within the next 2 years, so that equals 1 every 4 months. Now, you know, people are like, oh, well, these games are going to be like, you got to release a ton because that's how you keep people interested. Or, you know, well, Nintendo's not in that kind of game. Nintendo's in the game of making quality entertainment. And I really think that you're gonna really enjoy what they come out with. Now, wish?
I mean, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Now, I wish that they would just release their back catalog and let us play Super Mario Brothers and all that on the iPhone as well. And maybe once they start to see the sales, and they go, "Oh shit, look how much money we're making," maybe we will get that kind of entertainment as well. I hope so.
I hope so, but I'll tell you this. Don't hold your breath. Their virtual console stuff, they cannot keep up with updating that. Like,
really?
And for the 3DS, I was looking today because I got some money on my 3DS, and I was looking to buy a virtual console game. They haven't updated in, like, 3 months. It's like, what about one game has been updated on there.
Okay, but they do have... Okay, so tell me a little bit about it, because, you know, I'm really excited. I'm about to get a 3DS myself. And I'm really excited to get, like, the old Nintendo games as well. And I saw that they are on the store. Is Virtual Console different than the Wii Store? Or not the Wii Store, but the Nintendo... What do they call it?
That's what it's Virtual Console. I mean, that's really what they call it altogether.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I mean, but the thing that sucks is there's no cross buy at all. So if you buy it on the Wii U, you'll have to still buy it on 3DS. So it's not as good. The only difference, they'll give you a discount on the Wii U if you transferred your Wii account over stuff over to Wii U, and you still have to pay for it, but you only have to pay like $1 or $1.50 per game.
Oh, it's called the So what about the eShop? Is that just the virtual? Is that just what it is?
Yeah, the eShop is the general, you know, that's where they sell all of their games.
Okay, okay.
But the virtual console is a category in the eShop.
I see. See, I see like Super Mario Brothers 3 on here, but they don't update it to have full screen. It's like a cropped screen. Is that right?
You can do it. You could do it as the old school screen, or you could actually change the to like an original view, like where it'll just fill the whole screen.
Oh, really?
It's, I think you just hold start when you're starting it up.
Oh, okay. I see. And let's see what else we got. Sega. So, I mean,
there's all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
While Nintendo is getting into gaming on the iPhone and Android. Well, no, just maybe. I don't know if they're going to do Android. It says iOS.
They probably will. Yeah. Oh, it says right here, with developers focused on iOS and
Okay, and it says Android and other mobile platforms. Okay.
Yeah.
Sega is getting rid of a lot of their mobile games, and they're saying it's due to quality concerns. And so,
I mean, they put a lot of shit out lately. Like,
they
have.
They have. And they are also, let's see, so why is this happening? Platforms involved, new offerings. Older software can get a bit wonky. Okay, so I'm guessing because they haven't updated the games, like, to match like the iPhone 6 or whatever, or you know, they're just like pull them instead of putting money into them. I'm guessing that's what the deal is.
And at least they're doing it to where if they're going to pull it from stores, they're not pulling a Konami where they're going to pull it. Like if you previously purchased it, you could always re-download it at your own will. The thing with Konami was with the PT demo, if you didn't download it in time, even if you had it on your history, you can't re-download it. So it's lost forever for me.
You know, I'm a bit frustrated with Sega, and I'll tell you why. Just before the show, I was reading up on a few things that they're doing. One of my all-time favorite games that I played ever, is got to be Phantasy Star Online, and that was on the Sega Dreamcast. I put so many hours into that. And it was really my first foray into kind of the MMO world.
Right.
And it was such a high quality game. Well, they do have Phantasy Star Online 2, and it's been highly praised as like an amazing sequel. They finally came out with it, but it came out in 2011, and it's in Japan. And all they have to do is update it for English. Like, that's all they have to do is do English language translation.
Import it, yeah.
And they refuse to do it, and they refuse to bring it to the Western world. I don't know why. They said that they're going to do it, but they've wasted 4 years now, and people are starting to get a little like antsy, and they're like, "Well, fuck it!" Like, and I'm getting really upset with it. And they also put down Alien Isolation. They said that it was weak sales. They sold 2.1 million copies, and they said, "Oh, those are weak sales."
Yeah, which is lame because that was actually a really good game.
Yeah, and stop putting out fucking shitty Sonic games and you know, like, start. I don't know what you want. Like, that was your highest selling game that you had of 2014. Your next in line was fucking Football Manager 2015, and it sold 800,000 copies.
Yeah.
So
Sega's been making a lot of poor decisions this last decade. And it's sad because, like I said, I can do a whole podcast on how Sega used to be on top, in my opinion. They used to do so many things right. They were so ahead of the curve, and like the studio Midway, they just died. Yeah. They kept in their own ideas. It's going to be what happens to Nintendo if they don't get their shit together. But they're going to stick in their own things. Again, time's not going to change, and they're going to get left behind. Sega's been left behind. Midway, obviously, has been left behind.
Do you think it is the Japanese mentality of like, they think that it should be this way, and if nobody else follows, then they're wrong and not themselves, you know?
Oh, yeah, they're very stubborn. I mean, I would say Sega was stubborn. Midway, well, even though it was an American company, they were stubborn. Nintendo is obviously very stubborn, but they're finally starting to come around because they're starting to see the dollar signs. It's just, it. Like I said, they were all of these companies are pretty much the Blockbuster of video games. They were being very reactive instead of being proactive. And it's obviously costing them, you know, their businesses. So it's a sad thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I with the thing that Konami's doing, I really feel like they should sell off their... If you're not going to make the games, they should sell off the licenses. Or at least license the licenses to have other people make. I'd love to see some more titles out of the Konami world, you know? And I think that... I think we're going to get robbed of that. I don't think that we're going to see it.
Oh, we're not. And the thing is, once again, it goes to the whole thing. If we're not going to make it, no one's going to make it. If I can't have it, no one can have it. You know, and it's bullshit.
Yeah. And
people want these titles.
I think Nintendo would run itself into the ground and into the grave before they would put their titles on anything else. Like, you know, they'll do the little mobile thing to test the waters, but I don't think it's going to be a full console experience. I think it'll be like Froggy Jumpy, you know, where you make Mario jump and, you know, collect the coins, kind of like an Endless Runner, you know, maybe. I don't know, but I don't think it'd be like a full Mario experience, because they would want to push you to buy the DS or the Nintendo Wii U or their new console that they're coming out with.
Yeah. By the way, while we're on the subject of Konami, this is the perfect segue to this. Actually, as of today, a game showed up on Kickstarter by a Mr. Well, everyone knows who he is. He is a legend in the business. He worked for Konami. His name is Koji Igarashi. He made all of the Castlevania games, and he made the amazing ones like Symphony of the Night and, you know, just all those type of games. He's actually gone from Konami, and he wants to still make Castlevania type games. So today on Kickstarter showed up Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. And they just started Kickstarter today. They put a goal of $500,000. As of this very moment, they're at $925,499.
Jeez.
So with over 12,000 backers, this game's going to get made, obviously. I really hope it just comes out. I mean, I think this is what it's going to come down to. A lot of these people, like Hideo Kojima, Koji Igarashi, Kenji Inafune, they get tired of dealing with these old world Japanese developers, and they leave and they start Kickstarters on games that people actually want to see, and that's backed by the fans, and they're going to turn out amazing. So, I mean,
that's awesome. So, if you're definitely a fan of the developers, at least, at least you have something to turn to. And a game to play from the people who made the game. So it's kind of like a spiritual successor. And, you know, I guess you could just copy the game and not call it Contra. I mean, not Contra. Fucking, I guess you could say Contra because it is a Konami game. But
right. And that's what honestly, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to have any of the Belmonts in it or anything like that. They actually have female protagonists in this. But it looks great. You could check out their Kickstarter. Just look up Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. And like I said, watch it take off like a rocket. But they have a thing where it's going to show up on PS4, Xbox One, Steam. They're even looking to put it on smaller systems, especially now that the fact that they have stuff like that. But those are the first three systems announced. For $28, you can get a digital copy of the game. For $60, if you pledge, you actually get You get a physical copy of the edition with a special in-game items. There's going to be a special boss battle that's going to be super hard, and you're also going to get some like other stuff in there, plus a sweet slipcase for it. So who knows even if GameStop will fund like carry this stuff. If you go there, you can might get a special copy of a game that's only supposed to be digital. So that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. Well, go check it out.
So once again, fuck Konami. good on you there, Iga. My Iga.
Let's see. I know a lot of people loved this game, Turok. Do you ever play it on the Nintendo 64?
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of the first one. The Turok I got into, though, I think it was Turok 2 or 3, where they made it like just continuous like Half-Life style, where it was just a like not like you complete a level and the game's over. You actually go just like on an adventure, and it was unbelievable. Like Turok was a great game,
and they're remaking it. Might be. So Night Dive Studios recently put out a little statement, and he says, it says, I was originally working on a remake of N64's Turok called Turok EX, but then it got put off to the side. Now, since Night Dive Studios has picked up the rights to re-release it, it will resume development later this year. So
good.
And, okay, it's not confirmed, and of course, until they officially announce it, but it's definitely likely to happen. How awesome would that... I think that'd be really cool if they do it right.
Agreed. I mean, like, but there's so much you could do.
How do you feel about all the remakes lately? Like, we're not even... Wouldn't you like to see remakes of the older games first before you see, like, last-generation games being remade already? Like, wouldn't you love to see... Obviously, Nintendo has done a wonderful job remaking, you know, and reimagining, really, not even remakes. I mean, they've reimagined Super Mario Brothers when the DS originally came out, and the 3DS. Yeah. But how do you feel about, like, because they're remaking already the Halos, and they've remade they've remade a couple PS3 games already. They're remaking God of War and 3.
I wouldn't even say remaking. I would say remastering. There's not...
Yeah, I mean,
they're just upping the graphics.
Yeah, they're just
really
remastering them, and they're not really remaking them. But wouldn't you want to see remakes and stuff? Like, wouldn't you love to see a GoldenEye remaster?
Yeah, they tried that. The thing is, it's really hard because, once again, especially GoldenEye, just in particular, it's so... There's so many different way the rights go. Rare made it, and then Nintendo owned the rights to it. Rare went to Microsoft. Nintendo is just not getting up the rights of GoldenEye.
Well, I know.
So they had to make a GoldenEye Reloaded game on... Right. It came out on all the systems, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, I know. But, like, even like, okay, just using that as an example, but, like, this Turok game, like, man, wouldn't you love to see... And wouldn't you love to see an updated Contra? You know, I kind of feel like Bro... what's it called? Broforce is kind of a... Is kind of like a... I would imagine Broforce being Contra if they remade it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I'd love to play older games remade in HD. You know, the
if
stuff
I could
that
say,
I grew up with.
Yeah, one company that's doing that right... Way Forward. They're the ones who did the Double Dragon Neon, and they're also the ones who did DuckTales, and those games are fantastic. Like, especially DuckTales. DuckTales looks beautiful,
DuckTales,
and it plays
amazing,
just like the Nintendo version, to where even the secrets are all the same.
For real. Somebody bought that for me. Oh, Ryan bought that for me, and I had so much fun with it. It was incredible, so definitely want to see more stuff like that. Also, I was just thinking about this because Mortal Kombat came to my mind really quickly. Did you see a tweet from Ed Boon where he gave a shout-out to your arcade up there in Chicago?
Good.
Galloping
Ghost.
The Galloping Ghost, yeah, that's right. He put out he said, look, the Galloping Ghost just got like four of our original arcade cabinets of our original game before
the
Mortal.
The Grid.
Yeah, Grid. The Grid. What is that about?
The Grid was a game that came out in the late 90s, I want to say. It was a third-person shooter, tournament style. Kind of like, it looks like, the arena looks like something out of American Gladiators. But there was, usually, I've only seen three arcades together. They actually have six of them there, and they link them all together. So it could be like a three-on-three of them. There's a roller, like a trackball, to aim. Mm-hmm. And then you use like a joystick to shoot and everything like that, to move and shoot. It was a really interesting layout as controls go, and it was just really fun. Third person shooter, like I said, they made it like some arena type, like American Gladiators, like Death Fest. It was really cool. I would say that was one of the best games that Midway came out with, as far as like, it was the last of their arcade days, and it was amazing. And next time I go to town, I'd love to play some more of that, especially because when I was in there for the Mortal Kombat tournament, they just got those cabinets in, so they didn't get to put them together yet, but they already had three cabinets up, so they got three others donated to them, so now they have six. And dude, it was funny too, because all the Mortal Kombat people and all the Midway people and all the NetherRealm people, I mean, they were looking at it, they're like, oh, that's awesome that you got this. You know, they were hyped because that was stuff that they worked on, you know, back in the early 2000s, late 90s.
That must have been cool to talk to those guys about that stuff.
It's super cool, man. I mean, like, that's the thing. I have a special place in my heart for Midway Games, now NetherRealm, because they were Chicago. You know, that was Bally Williams Midway. And there was so many amazing, iconic games that came from that studio that, you know, that changed arcades, you know, all around and changed gaming. And it's just like, you gotta really respect that history, especially people like Ed Boon, you know, like, he's been there since the early 90s with Mortal Kombat, you know?
And he stuck with it, man.
Yeah.
And especially when, like, it's John, a great company. What was his name? Is it John Tobias?
It was John Tobias and Ed Boon. Yeah. John Tobias took off after, like, three, I think.
Just went goodbye. He was like, fuck you, Ed Boon. And he was like, bye. And then Ed Boon was like,
I don't know.
No, that's how the conversation was. Like, John was just walked into Ed's office and he was like, listen, man, I'm glad that you got this whole Mortal Kombat thing, but it's not going to work out anymore. These games suck. It's going nowhere, man, so I'm out. And he was like, all right, man, well, it was nice working with you for these 20 years. Are we still friends? And John was like, no, you took my wife from me, you asshole. You know, that was supposed to be my kid. And then, you know, Ed's just a relaxed kind of guy anyway, so he was just like, yeah, you're right, man, well, see ya. And so that's pretty much how it went down.
Wow, that's a pretty accurate statement there.
Yeah, and then Ed pretty much just, you know, instead of yelling, he just showed how great he could make Mortal Kombat, and look at it now.
Yeah.
It's just as popular as it always has been.
It's just heartbreaking to see the way Midway went out. You know, they had so much more potential. Once again, it was a company that just couldn't get out of the arcade era. Mm-hmm. And it sucks that they didn't stick around, because now the arcade era is kind of making a comeback. Even though it's more classic games,
dude,
it would have been cool to still have them around.
We saw one when we went to go see Avengers. Like, we walked by it and we were like, "What the hell? Like, there's an arcade here and it's giant." What? I was very surprised to see it. And yeah, I do think that arcades are definitely making a little bit of headway again. Yeah. Not, I mean, you're not going to find them on every street corner like you used to, but
no, not at all. I mean, like I said, there's places like the Galloping Ghost that are really, I'm glad they're getting so much press and so much popularity, because they deserve it. They're really resurrecting the arcade community, and I really hope that other people follow suit and start opening arcades like that across the United States. Just bring it back, man.
I'd really love to open an arcade and then have, I'd love to open an arcade and then have a little bar in there as well, and not call it Barcadia. But, you know, just like have it. No, the bar isn't the forefront. The games are in the front, the forefront. The bar's just there for you to get a drink if you're thirsty. You know, like, have a beer, play some games. But definitely, I would love to do that. I'd love to have a huge collection of games and run it all day long and all night. speaking of running games, it looks like we have a release date for, not a release date, but a release window.
Window.
For the Oculus Rift. It looks like we're going to be getting it in a consumer version in early 2016. Now, this might be too late because of the fact that while Oculus was first to announce, they've been in development for like 3 or 4 years now. Mm. And it seems like HTC and Valve have kind of taken over in the mindset of people, because the people who've tried that have been like, holy shit, this is like light years beyond what Oculus is doing already. And I think that they're going to beat Oculus to market, even though Oculus has Facebook money.
Right, right. Well, and you still have Sony. Don't count them out as well. They have the Morpheus.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, there's a lot of VR equipment coming out soon. In all honesty, by the way, I don't know if I ever told you that, or if I ever told you, but one of my friends has this, and he has like a prototype of the Oculus Rift. I believe it's the first one.
Yeah.
And it was cool. I played Half-Life with it.
What are your thoughts?
I got into the vehicle though, and honestly, like, I almost got sick. I don't know if it was from like just, I don't know if it's really on the Oculus Rift or what it was, but I was starting to get really like sick to my stomach. It might not be as hyped as I wanted to be, you know.
Well, they did fix that. Like the first generation, I guess it was just the way with the refresh rate and how everything was. But they do have the updated has said to fix all of those kind of issues of making you sick and stuff. But
I was wondering if it was just me in general. Like, maybe I just can't do virtual reality. But
well, how'd you feel after you did the flight? We did the You did the plane.
ACCC. I was fine after that, so maybe it could have been just an isolated incident. But then again, I was actually controlling my movement in Half-Life 2. Like, I was in the vehicle driving around, and it was just throwing me off. Who knows? Like I said, it could have been just an isolated incident. I only got to play with it once, so.
Well, about this time, we like to kind of look in and see everything that we've been watching during the week. Have you been watching anything? Did you do anything this week? Should we do this segment?
Yeah, totally.
Because if you don't want to, we could just cuddle.
Virtual cuddling.
Mm. Oh. We'll just make the noises. Oh.
Oh. No, that'll be bad for the listeners.
All right, let's listen.
Are you watching closely?
What'd you watch, man? What you got going on?
I'm all caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Me too.
That's really cool.
Me too.
Yeah. Last week's episode was, it was all right. You know, coming from the Avengers, I thought it was meh, you know?
But you did
kind
get
of
to,
explained a few things.
You did get to see the reveal of how Coulson and, you know, got...
Yeah.
Spoilers. You got to see how Coulson put together the giant ship.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to see that and everything. It was cool. I mean, it set it up for a great episode this coming week. So we'll see how that goes. Also, as far as video games go, I picked up Wolfenstein: The Old Blood, which I've only played about the first 20 minutes of it. It's still amazing. The first, like the Wolfenstein, the new Order, unbelievable game. Probably one of my favorite games that came out in 2014.
Really?
So it's good to see. Oh yeah, I loved that game. It was so good.
It sucks that you say that because, you know, I've wanted a quality kind of okay. I can't buy any more games first of all because I need to get through the games I already own.
And, I hear ya.
I'm gonna start streaming maybe once a week.
Good.
And I'm gonna start with Aliens Isolation, and it's gonna scare the shit out of me.
Good luck with that. I saw how you played PT.
Yep.
You're not gonna be able to play Alien Isolation.
Well, listen, I do it for the public. I'll do it for the public. And I'll have the lights on, and I will have someone in the room with me. And if no one's watching, I'm not going to play it. Like, if I don't have any viewers, I'm not fucking playing.
Oh, man.
So, all right, continue. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was saying, I mean, if you haven't had a chance to play Wolfenstein: The New Order, definitely put it on your list. It's an unbelievable game. But like I said, The Old Blood plays more of like the, it plays the exact same way, but it plays more to the it's like a prequel, kind of like, reminds you of Castle Wolfenstein. I think that's where you end up in. So it gives you that feel to it. And it's pretty amazing so far. Like I said, I'm very at the very beginning. I'm like 20 minutes in. But it's such a great game. Like, what was it? Machine Games killed it. They're the guys who did it. Bethesda published it. Machine Games, kudos to you on fucking Wolfenstein being so good.
Awesome. What else you got?
That's all I got, Jeremy. What about you?
Let's see. Finished up catching up. You were my inspiration for catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., by the way, because of how passionate you've been about it. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to catch up on it. And I'm glad I did. It's still the same kind of level of story as to where it leaves me wanting more, but I'm still satisfied with what I get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, it does. I mean, it's, you know, you don't expect too much out of it, and it gets good.
Yeah. Then let's see. I started watching. I watched Avengers for the second time, but you guys already know that. And then to round it out, What did I do? Oh, what's that show? Silicon Valley has come out for its third season. If you haven't watched that, I highly recommend that you do it. It is so funny. It's actually, you know, I cannot stand Big Bang Theory because they try to show smart people to, like, they try to show what smart people are to dumb people. And, you know, with Silicon Valley, it's actually what us geeks and nerds actually are like. You know, we're actually really, I don't know, man. I think it's a really high quality show. And if nobody's seen it, you got to watch it. And there's no laugh track. So
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need that.
But that's it. Yeah, that's all I've watched. So definitely check out all the good stuff. We thank you for another show, another week. You're keeping mm-hmm. us on the air by listening. We thank you for that. It actually shows that people care about us and what we have to say. So we're appreciative. That's our show for the week. I am Jeremy.
Check us out on Patreon.
Oh, yeah, and you got to check us out on Patreon, too. There's a link on our website. If you'd like to give to the cause and help us out, pay our little overhead fees, and get us on SoundCloud and get some new equipment in here for your boys. And I'd love to get I'd love to buy Kevin a nice fancy microphone someday. Not to say that yours is bad, but we both have these fancy microphones, and I'd love to get you in the same arena.
So definitely, dude.
I'd love to
find By the way, side note, Bloodstain just crossed the 950,000 mark. Yeah, that's going to hit $1 million in the next, like, hour. Easily.
That's awesome.
Good for them.
I love crowdsourcing.
Yeah.
Say what you will about it. You know, there's many things that fail on it, but there's many things that are just amazing that do quality stuff and actually get funded. So anyways, that's our show. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Kevin.
And until next week, bring us out, Kev.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. I got nothing. Bye.